الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Monday the 25th of October 1999. Last week we started with Surah Al-Baqarah. And we jumped the حروف المقطعات where I promised you I shall deal with it next week. Right? حروف المقطعات which literally means broken letters. Which literally mean broken letters. So what is the theory behind this usage? Mind you, it is widely used. It is not something that appears in one or two surahs, it appears in more than 29 surahs. Nearly 29 surahs have this beginning with broken letters. Some letters are repeated in more than one surah, like Alif Lam Mim or Ha Mim. Some are only in one surah, like Noon. Some start with only one letter, some start with two letters, some start with three letters, some start with even five letters. Right? So there is no pattern established. And like I said last time, that Majmal Bayan of Tabarsi has listed down 11 possible explanations. Right? So we'll go through the 11 of them to find which is the most plausible one, and we'll see what Ayatollah Tabatabai says about it. Whether he thinks which one is right and which one is wrong. The first one, they claim it is from the Mutashabihat. You know the verse of Surah Ali Imran which says that verses of the Holy Quran are muhkamat and mutashabahat. Muhkamat are those that are clear cut, mutashabahat which are not ambiguous but which have deeper meanings. Right? So, a group of scholars, when I say scholars I mean mufassirin, those who are in the art of tafsir, they say that this is mutashabahat. And that the meaning of these words or letters will only be known with tafsir from our Imams alayhi wasalam. So this is one thing. We're listing down 11. This is number one. Number two, that they are used to name surahs, like many of them, like Surah Hamim, Surah Noon, right? Many of them are used to name surahs. So these letters have no significance apart from the name of the surah. Number three, they are names of the Quran. There is no evidence to this. This is a saying by or some mufassirin who have brought it forward, you can call Quran Hamim or you can call Quran Alif Lam Mim, right? But there is no evidence to that. Number four, that each letter denotes a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from hadith of the sixth Holy Imam. Right? It says, for example, Alif Lam Mim Ma'nahu Ana Allahu A'lam. Wa qawluhu Alif Lam Mim Ra. Alif Lam Mim Ra is also the Huruf al-Muqatta'at in the beginning of one surah in the Holy Quran. Ma'nahu Ana Allahu A'lam wa Ara. Right? So, mim is used for a'lam. Ara, ra is used for ara, that means I see. A'lam, I know. Lam is used for Allah. And alif is used for ana. Right? So, ana Allahu a'lam wa ara. Wa qawluhu alif lam mim saad. Ma'nahu ana Allahu a'lam wa ufassir. I give details to everything. So, I know and I give details to everything. وقوله كاف ها يا عين صاد الكاف من الكافي والهاء من الهادي والياء من الحكيم والعين من العليم والصاد من الصادق وهو مروي عن ابن عباس. Revived from Ibn Abbas, right? So this fourth claim is that every letter is representing a name of Allah, and it is not necessarily the beginning of the name of Allah. It may be in the middle, it may be in the end. Right?
Hakim mati ye kaite.
Hakim mati ye kaite. Alim mati mim chalo kaite. Right? So, you can see that there is no such pattern. The only evidence they have is that there is a hadith narrated from the authority of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, who we know, one of the leading mufassirin in the time of the Holy Prophet, after the Holy Prophet.
Sorry, does that mean that he himself heard it? Obviously not, or he got it from somewhere else as well?
He must have heard it from somewhere else. See, the thing is, whether this hadith is authentic or not, again, many fabrications have been attributed to Ibn Abbas or even leading companions. The fabricator may have come much later, but to have fabricated in such a manner, see, to attribute, to give credibility to the hadith, they put the name of known people. Right? So if I tell you a hadith from Ibn Abbas, we would think Ibn Abbas is not a type of a person who would fabricate things. Right? But the fabrication may have occurred later. It's not done. Right? It's not by Ibn Abbas. But the riwayat ends up to Ibn Abbas having heard from somebody, either the Prophet or Imam Ali. Fifth saying is that a combination of these letters that are used in the beginning of surahs will together form Ism-e-Azam. And people who know how to do it would do it and come up with one name of Allah that is Ism-e-Azam. So for example, they say Alif Lam Ra plus Ha Mim plus Noon would give you Ar-Rahman. Alif Lam Ra plus Ha Mim plus Noon. All these three are Huruf al-Muqatta'at used in three different surahs. Right? So if you combine them, it would give you Ar-Rahman. This is the fifth thing. The sixth, that this is, by these letters, Allah takes an oath. Right? He takes an oath like washamsi waduhaha, he takes oath by things. He takes oath by these letters, that these are the basic letters he uses to compile the book. The book is an amazing feat. The book is a miracle. At every beginning of every surah where he uses these letters, he is just trying to take an oath by the letters that these are the very same letters that you know, like ABC. Right? And I'm using the same letters to compile and form what is a miracle. Right? This is the sixth thing. The seventh. The seventh goes on to numerology. That these letters give a total of some kind of amount which shows how many years communities will last and how many years the whole world will last. Astrologers use this and numerologists use these letters to come to a formula and say, okay, the total of this is this. Surprisingly, that this 7th, 8th and 9th is all sort of numerology. Surprisingly, there is a hadith by the Holy Prophet. I say surprisingly because I personally don't have faith on astrology, that man can numerology. There may be a science existing, but does it influence, right? Or was that what the Quran was revealed for? I personally find it a bit too difficult to swallow. The hadith also, he has narrated the hadith, whereas there are only three isolated reported incidents from the Holy Prophet himself. Right? So he himself says Da'if al-Sanad, that this is very a weak chain. Right? Okay. Where the Prophet says to prove how long his Ummah will last, he gives Haruf al-Muqatta'at and gives the Ta'dad, you know, the adad of every number, every letter, yeah? He adds them up and he says this is total 7 years. Right? So basically, this is the seventh and the eighth explanation. The seventh explanation is that this is used for counting the total number of years the world will exist. The eighth one is that it gives us the total number of years the Prophet's Ummah will last. How long will it last? 2,000 years, 4,000 years, 8,000 years. This is something that they claim is contained in these letters. Number nine. And I remember saying this last time. Number nine is that these letters are just to show letters like ABC. Now if I say ABC, what I actually mean is alphabet. But I won't mention the rest of the letters of the alphabet. I will just say ABC. Right? So in that symbolic manner, Allah has just mentioned a few letters to draw our attention to the use of alphabets. Number 10, and again I did tell you this last time as well, number 10 is that at that time the kuffars were trying not to listen to the Quran. So all these words that the Prophet was saying continuously that was from the Quran, these kuffars would put their fingers in their ear and not listen to it. But the moment the Prophet would say letters that are strange, they would want to listen to it, right? So this was a bit to make them listen. Again, there is no hadith. This is just pure speculation from the Mufassirin. And the last one, the 11th one, is that some people use Alif Lam Mim, Alif Isharatun ila Allah, wal Lam ila Jibreel, wal Mim ila Muhammad. Last time I told you this before. That to explain Alif Lam Mim, Alif is Allah, Lam is Jibreel, and Mim is Muhammad. So it is showing the progress, the message from Allah through Jibreel to Prophet Muhammad. Right? These are the 11 different explanations. And as Ayatollah Tabatabai goes on to explain, he says, we can just sit and speculate so many different explanations. Right? Hadith from the Holy Prophet that says about numerology, he says clearly that this is not a very strong hadith, ba'if al-sanad, and therefore he doesn't have faith in it. All he says at the end of the day, his conclusion is that these are codes between Allah and the Holy Prophet, that only they will know what is the true meaning of these letters. Nobody can claim. I know we have several scholars who have written that Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Sad is Karbala and Halak, and Ya is from Yatim, I think Ain is Atash from that, yeah? To explain the whole event of Karbala in Kaf, Ha, Ya, many scholars have done different things just in a bit to try and explain this. But what is the secret behind the Huruf al-Muqatta? But there is no firm or concrete explanation. Huruf al-Muqatta'at will ever remain a mystery. Right? And the secret is known only to Allah, the Holy Prophet, and of course, the A'imma alayhi wasalam.
Sorry, did you answer the question last week? Or if that is the case, then why did Allah put it here? Just to do what? To show us that this is something you'll never know.
The i'jaz bit.
Why put it there? For us. This kitab is for us. So why is it there? If we're never going to know.
I think it shows the difference between the creator and the creative. There is an element there of superiority showing that you will never understand some secrets of mine.
The rest of the book is enough as a guide.
It's
like a digital ID on something. You know, you send in something, you put a digital ID, nobody can, It's definitely something that even the Jews at that time, during the time of the Holy Prophet, used to taunt the Holy Prophet, that what are these letters for? Right? But nobody has pinpointed why. And it's given, I mean, it's attributed now to the secret that this is between Allah and the Holy Prophet.
Okay, but if they weren't there, what difference would it make? That's the key. To put it there, there must be a reason. Therefore, if you didn't put it there, what difference would it make to us? I can't see any.
To us, it doesn't make a difference.
Then why put it there for us at all? As the Abbas says, just to show us, you can't tell this. Is that it?
But I think there is that, to me, the Muqatta'at has always been more than just something I can't understand. To me, it's very, very powerful. It shows that, you know, this is something that you cannot reach. I mean, it's just fascinating. It's there, and it has a secret that you cannot penetrate. I mean, there's so many explanations, sort of, that plenty you've seen, like, sort of, the last letters make
Ambuche.
From Sipuche. When you put these letters together, it says that the path of Ali is correct.
And apparently that's the only coherent sentence you can make out of it.
Out of all the letters?
Of all the letters, using them once only.
We are obviously right in this book that interpretation of these letters is haram.
Number 12.
I mean, it follows from mutashabihat. If it is mutashabihat, Allah
then of course
those
can't.
Hearts are diseased.
They cannot, yeah.
They go for mutashabihat.
And ignore them.
They take the mutashabihat and they leave them.
They leave the muhkamat. You see, this is an interesting thing that you have brought up. Hadith ni andar che, man fassar al-ra'i bil, man fassar al-Qur'an bil-ra'i. Right? Whoever interpreted the Holy Qur'an with his own opinion, فَلِيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Then let him be prepared for his own seat in the fire of hell. Man fassar al-Qur'an bil-ra'i. Right? That is your opinion. You do tafsir with your opinion. Muhammad Yatleh Sidi Hadith, you do tafsir without seeking guidance from the Imams, right? Or from learned people. That means you're doing it without any guidance. You're doing it purely yourself, right? Even if you are right, you're still sinful. Because this is not something I and you can just sit and say, okay, what does this mean? Let's sit and discuss, right? Tafsir, it's not ta'wil, it's not tadabbur. Mind you, these are three different things. When it comes to understanding the Holy Quran, there is tadabbur, there is tafsir, there is ta'wil. I did this last time, I think was it last time or sometime before. And to refresh your memories, tadabbur is the time when we start pondering the questions we ask ourselves. It is that process that takes us to tafsir. Because when we recite the Quran, the least we are supposed to do is ask questions. What does this mean? Why is this there? Why did Allah choose this one? And so on. That is tadabbur. From tadabbur we go on to tafsir. And tafsir there means that we seek guidance from the Holy Prophet, from the Imams. What is the meaning of this word? Why did Allah use this word here? Under what context was it revealed? And so on. And then you go to ta'wil. Ta'wil is application of that tafsir. So how you apply it to your life. So tadabbur and ta'wil, you are responsible. When it comes to tafsir, you cannot do tafsir. That is from that aspect he might be saying it is haram, because there is no tafsir of Haruf al-Muqatta'ah. Right? And the moment you try speculating yourself, independent of qualified opinion, independent of ahadith, right? You try to say, ya alif lam mim noa matlab thai shi. It doesn't matter. That
maybe. I mean, those 11 points you said earlier about...
What I have said from the 11 points, I think something like 5 or 6 were qualified with a hadith. The hadith is right or wrong is a second issue. Right? But from a hadith. The rest were from learned scholars. In any case, what Ayatollah Tabatabai has done has listed down everything. In fact, he has listed down 11 direct from Majma' al-Bayan, which is Tawassi, right? One of the pioneers in Ilm al-Tafsir. So what he has done is, he's just listed them and said, this is what Mufassirin said. And he's then opined and says, this is my opinion.
Which is the one that you would feel very comfortable with?
He asked me.
Personal. Of the 11.
I would go with the hadith that says, each letter is from the name of Allah. I mean, this one seems closest to me, Kiyama. The secret would be that Allah is using letters to symbolize His names, right? That could be a possible, plausible explanation. But that is my opinion, right? Many scholars disagree there, but...
Imam, letters are key to reaching a higher level of perception and knowledge. But Allah reserves that for only the people, His chosen people, higher level.
Good question. Ayatollah Tabatabai says that if you look at, for example, the surahs that that start with, and this is the resemblance that he has drawn up. If you look at the surahs that start with Al-Lami, for example, right, then you will see that there is a resemblance in the theme of the two surahs that both begin with Alif Lam Mim. Right? You will see that these surahs that begin with Alif Lam Mim, and this is his research, right? He says, mind you, it is difficult to verify because I haven't gone through the themes of all the surahs yet, right? But he says that he even feels that surahs that begin with Alif Lam Ra and Alif Lam Sa, right? And then there are surahs that begin with Alif Lam Mim, right? There are surahs that begin with Alif Lam Mim Ra and Alif Lam Mim Sa, right? They also have resemblance in their thematic.
There is a code, if you look at it, Alif Lam Mim is coming in so frequently, there is a code there that just needs to be cracked.
Then he gives an example. He says, for example,
Hamim.
Look at Hamim. Every surah that begins with Hamim, it then follows with Tanzil al Kitab. Right? Hamim, Tanzil al Kitab. Therefore, it is talking of the book revealed with Hamim. And he says, there is some pattern. But this is the closest you can get to it.
I was in a lecture by some Sufis and they were saying that Alif Lam Mim signifies Ibadah. Alif Jeshe Qayam Che, Lam Che Ruku Che, Mim Che, and a shape party, you know, from the shape of the letter. And he says that is the essence of Ibadah. You know? Everybody's got something to say about it, I guess.
Is there any reason why they appear at the beginning of the surah?
Sorry?
Any reason why they appear at the beginning of the surah, something never in between at the end?
No. That even in the beginning of not all surahs.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you were saying.
14 letters,
doesn't
it? 28 letters, isn't it?
14 have been used. But this, it may also boil down to numerology. Mind you, I say this is my opinion. I have some kind of.
Ekshenek Alif Lamim boy comes out 1,000, how many years, Bani Umayyah will rule, Imam Jafar ibn Abi
Sa'd. That's what I'm saying. Mashiach, one of the
first of Bani Umayyah.
Tafsir is saying in numerology, it gives the number of years of dynasties and of, kingdoms and all that. Yeah? Earth, how long it will last and so on. Right. Let's go on. Last time, we had seen the signs, or rather the qualities, the characters of a muttaqi, if you remember. Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. Right? And we said that this book is a guide for pious people, and pious people are described as those who believe in the unseen, those who establish prayers, and those who give generously, and so on. Right? Now, we also said last time that if this book is a guide for pious people, then it is not a book for people who are not pious, right? Because if it is Hudan lil Muttaqeen, we discuss the difference between Hudan lil Muttaqeen and Hudan lil Nas. One aspect, in one part of the Holy Quran, this book is a guide for mankind. And here Allah says it's a guide for the pious people. So if pious people, to be pious, you have to have guidance. So if you are already pious, then why would this book be a guide for you? Ulaika ala Hudan min Rabbihim wa ulaika humul muflihun. Right? So, and this was evidence to what we had earlier said, that hidayats of two kinds. One is the primary hidayat that will take you up to that piety level of believing the unseen, of establishing prayers, of giving in the way of Allah and so on, of believing in the hereafter. And then this book, the underlying meanings, as denoted by the word radical kitab, that of this, right, should give you a higher level of piety, should take you closer to Allah. So in fact, this book is a guidance for ordinary people to get to the level of piety that is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. And once they are there, this book is also a guide to take you deeper into guidance or closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, those five verses are about pious people. Then the next verse is إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ. Right? People who, regardless of whether you want them or not, they will not believe. It's a very interesting hadith that I thought I must read. And that is the concept of kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran talks about kufr 5 different ways. 5. Not 1, 5. And all these 5 are used as the word kufr and kafir. Right? And then we got to see that when we see kafirun are in the fire of hell, are there all these 5 different kinds of kafirs, or is there a different level of them? And this hadith by, I think it is the 6th of Imam. Right. And this will mean referring to certain verses, because we will look at all the verses in which Allah has mentioned kufr in its different aspects. The first kufr, that is rejection, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls anybody who rejects, anybody who says there is no God, there is no day of judgment, there is no Jannah, there is no Jahannam, is a kafir, right? And it is that kafir that Allah is referring to here by saying, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ. So this is the first kind of kufr. The second kind of kufr is the kind that people who know, despite that they deny. And there is a verse in the Holy Quran that says, وَجَحَدُ بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ. That means that they are denying it, yet deep inside they are sure, they are certain about it. Right? وَجَحَدُ بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَعَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. 27:14 is one, and 289. In fact, 289 is the better one, which gives the word kufr in it. So, these two are the kind that will enter into the fire of hell, are the kind that Allah says they are eternally in the fire of hell. خالدين فيها هم فيها خالدون. Right? The third kind of kufr, which is what we call in our language as well, Gujarati, kufrani ni'mat. Kufrani ni'mat is Arabic actually, which means that you reject the bounties, or rather you are ungrateful for the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon you. And that is used when Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam sees the what do you call, the throne of Bilqis in front of him. He says, وَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقَرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. Right? Or, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي. Right? So, in place, in opposite of shukr, the word used is kufr. Now that kufr is not the same as rejecting the presence or existence of Allah, right? And that kufr is kufran ni'mat, where Allah has given you bounties and you are ungrateful for the bounties. I'm not going to into details as to what, how to thank for the bounties and how, what is tantamount to being ungrateful, you know. The correct usage of that bounty, the incorrect usage of the bounties is also tantamount to kufran ni'mat. So I'm not going into those details. I'm just explaining the different ways in which the word kufr has been used. The fourth one is that when you disobey Allah, that is some kind of kufr. تَرْكُ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ. Allah has ordered something, Allah has commanded something. And when that command or that obedience is not forthcoming, that is also tantamount to kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ لَا تَسْفَكُنَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تَخْرُجُنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Right? A very famous word, a very famous verse which says that are you ready to believe in part of the book and reject the other part? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَلَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ الْعَذَابِ. That whoever does that, then he will be humiliated in this life, and in the hereafter he will be given a severe chastisement. Now, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. That means you are willing to obey part of the commandments contained in the book, and the other part you are not willing to do. Such a strong statement. If you look at our lives, you will see so many times we want to go back to the Quran and find out what it says, find answers from the Quran. But if you look at it, you just think for a little while. Is that only your convenience pushing you to support what you're doing and say, Quran machi, Muhammad kar is put together? But if you look at the Quran machi that we don't want to even think about, or we don't even want to do, or we don't even want to know. That verse that says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَكَفَّرَهُمْ بِتَرْكِ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. And the fifth one is what you call Bara'a, is the day when, on that day and the day of judgment, when Iblis will tell us that إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُكُمْ. You followed me, and I had already denounced this. I had rejected this. I am absolved. I don't want anything to do with this. I don't have anything to do. Iblis is going to turn around and tell us. Because all those who followed Iblis are going to look up to him and say, hey, we did you a favor. We were following you. You are the one who deceived us. And Iblis will turn around, and not only in one verse, in several verses Allah has said this, that on that day, Iblis will turn around and say, look, don't come to me. I have rejected this right from the beginning. I have nothing to do with it. So what he will be doing is what we call in Arabic bara'a. Right? Tawalla tabarra jishni apa isi ke tabarra. Tabarra is to denounce the enemies of Ahlul Bayt and their friends. This is what the shaitan will do to us. And the word used is kufr. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So he says, إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةً بَيْنَكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرْ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَلْعَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Right. So that day, the very followers of Iblis will be trying to reject and denounce each other and say, I have nothing to do with this and I have nothing to do with this. Shaitan himself will say, look, I am absolved, I have nothing to do with what you did. Despite people going up to Iblis and saying, yeah, we followed you. So these are the different meanings of the word kufr used. Now you can see how difficult it gets when you pick up a dictionary and want to translate the verses of the Quran. Because when you want to translate the word kufr, you have to understand what kind of kufr is being talked about. This hadith, and this is a hadith by the sixth holy imam, this hadith shows five different meanings of kufr. And for each meaning, I am sure you will have a different English word or a phrase. The translator who picks up a dictionary and wants to translate verses of the Holy Quran will misinterpret verses, mistranslate verses. Definitely. No two ways about it.
You know, in the last ayah you mentioned, doesn't it actually, the English word would it be disown?
Disown rather than denounce. I disown.
Disown.
Would the word bara'a in Arabic be ever translated as disown? I don't know. I mean, I find that bara'a is...
Disassociation.
Ah.
In other words, there you see you disown each other in as brothers in a belief that you used to have together.
Disassociation, disown. So many words in English.
It shows the desperation, you know, that the Atlantic people would be so willing to sort of blame someone for their misfortune.
True.
They actually turn around and say, وَبْعَنِكُلُ بَلْكُ شَيْطَانِ. That is a sad statement to make. You feel desperate and try it.
But how he came, what are the given as a kid? Most of the dinars can I go to the promise of everything. I'm going to do this to them and I'm going to.
إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِ مِنْ قَبْلِ.
What you.
In a sense, he's right.
This is from Usul al-Kahfi. This hadith is from Usul al-Kahfi. describing all these different aspects of kufr and meanings of kufr is from Usul al-Kafi on the authority of Zubayr on Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So it gives us a clear picture, mind you, especially for somebody who understands Arabic and sees the word kufr being used in so many different places. Immediately you realize okay, against shukr, the kufr cannot be the same against iman, right? Or against tawheed. There has to be some difference. And the kufr that is used for jahannam, khalidina fiha, right? That kufr is siwa'un alayhim a'anthartahum am lam tunthirhum la yu'minun. Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala absarihim ghishawa wa lahum adhabun adheem.
Are you suggesting that's the worst kufr?
Yeah.
How can it be worse than those people who know and yet deny?
They're the same. The categories will come here.
These are people who don't know. You said the ones who know and deny are the second one. This is number one, the first one. The second one is in Surah 2, Ayat 89.
Hmm.
But we're talking about the first ones.
There is a difference.
So I would have thought the second one would be the worst one.
No, the second one, I think there is a chance, this is my understanding, the second ones are people who know within and are denying, have a chance to come back because they at least know. These people, the way Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ نَا خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاءٌ, right? That means they don't even have a chance of coming.
Second category
are
who say that they lie.
That is the woman and nasi mayakulu amanna. That is munafiq. We are now entering. You see the Surah Baqarah up to verse 19, I think, is talking about three different categories of people. The first five verses talked about pious people. The second two verses talked about kafirs, and then from there on, up to the verse 19. Allah talks about the qualities of a munafiq, a hypocrite. Right. This is giving clear indication that these are the three categories of people you will be living with. You will have around you. There is no fourth category. And by the very number of verses or by the very number of description, explanation that Allah has given about munafiqeen shows that these are the most dangerous people. You have to really identify them. Know them. Those who are pious, you know them. Those who have rejected, you know them. Right? These ones are useless, whether you want them or not. Forget them. These ones are the pious people who will seek guidance from the Quran. Look after them. These ones. The hypocrites. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. Sorry, I'm reciting this in Arabic. I hope you understand the meaning in English as I go along. Okay. It's quite straightforward ayat. It denotes certain things that iman is not something that is enough to say, okay, I say okay, I believe in Allah, it is not enough. There has to be something from within. Because وَمِنَ النَّاسِ وَمَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا. People who say yes, people who say they believe. The only thing that they guarantee, they are guaranteed. People who say, I in a lip service day, okay, I say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The only two things that they are guaranteed is that their blood is not shed. That means they will not be killed as enemies of Islam because they have said La ilaha illallah, and that they are allowed to intermarry amongst Muslims. This is the only two, these are the only two that are allowed. Abu Sufyan, what did he do? He said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, knowing that that is the only way he can save himself. But we all know he was not a proper Muslim. We curse him. So, doesn't mean that koi la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, maaf kari na kone, aake na kono.
For the crimes he committed.
Sorry?
For the crimes he committed against his son, will he be killed?
Will he be punished? Of course.
Prior to becoming Muslim, no?
Did he get Muslim? He killed another Muslim.
He would be killed. If a Muslim deliberately killed. You see, the problem is okay, the amnesty that was given to non-Muslims was that the crimes he had committed were before.
He became a Muslim.
Of course. Al-Islam yujub
wa man. There is an ayat in that effect. Okay, yeah. Allah forgives what has passed.
Has
but from Nasheh, what has passed, play you take.
Havet it. It may not be used against the Muslim said. The non-Muslim could kill and say, la ilaha illallah, they couldn't try it. They're saying in a Muslim state, a non-Muslim does a crime. And then he says, la ilaha illallah.
No.
That means he's not going to be judged.
No, I think that is something different. You see, this was in the early days of Islam when an amnesty was declared.
That was just for that time.
Just for that. See, as a law, when a non-Muslim commits a crime in a Muslim state and then he accepts Islam, he's still got to pay for the crime he committed against the state, right? This one is an amnesty declared by the Holy Prophet that whoever accepts Islam, right, everything in the past will be absolved. And that is why people did come just for that security. And they knew they would be secure. Right? People like Sufyan and all that. So all these munafiqeen, and the reason why Ayatollah Tabatabai has not dealt with the signs of munafiqeen in this particular volume. See, one trait or one trend you must understand of Ayatollah Tabatabai is that he has not dealt with all these concepts right in the beginning. He has distributed them the way Allah has distributed the verses of the Quran, in the Quran, right? So Allah talks about munafiqeen here, yet Allah has devoted a whole surah, Surah Al-Munafiqun. Right? That means there is yet more to come about munafiqeen. And therefore wherever there is room to shift it backwards, Ayatollah Tabatabai has shifted these concepts, well, he has discussed them thoroughly, backwards. So he has, for example, Huruf al-Muqatta'at, that is why I could not deal it last time. What he has done is that he has taken Huruf al-Muqatta'at in Surah Shura, right? Surah Shura is in volume 17 and 18. That's why I last time couldn't do it, because I was looking at Surah al-Baqarah and I told me you'd have to go and find in Surah Shura, right? So I had to go read what Surah Shura says. This is why there are many concepts we will jump right now, hoping to come back inshallah one day, right? To continue on that aspect. Okay, what does Ayatollah Tabatabai say in the tafsir of Munafiqeen? Because every verse that has been mentioned here, starting from Iman, what is Iman? There is somewhere in the 20 volumes of Ayatollah Tabatabai an in-depth discussion of the concept of faith. Faith by lips, by tongue, faith by heart, faith by body parts and all that, right? So we will look at that as we go along. Right now what he has done is he has just passed by and said that, look, these are all the qualities of a hypocrite. Now, somebody who will give you lip service. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in their hearts there is some kind of sickness. And because they continue to persist in their behavior, Allah will only increase that sickness in them, that disease in them. So you look at all these trends, these traits of a munafiq, and you come down to verse 19. All right, not 19, 18. And you see how Allah has given the examples of hypocrites. كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Their example is like that of somebody who has lit a fire to be guided. Say you are in a dark night, woods, jungle, dark night, right? Now you want to see where you are going. You light a small fire to be able to see where you are, your surroundings and so on. You light a fire. The moment the fire is lit and it brightens up, it hits what is around. فَأَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. what is around you. Now you can see, you can get your bearings. The moment that happened, ذهب الله بنوره. For one reason or another, Allah creates some kind of diversion or some kind of obstacle that goes, that extinguishes the light. Some kind of force of wind, rain, anything. Then the light goes up. So now you have just seen where you want to go. Every step you take, you need the light again. Because you light it, you see, ah, this is where I want to go, the light goes off. Or, and Allah explains this further, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْدٌ. Right? Now, heavy downpour, where darkness is there, thunder is there, and lightning is there. يَجْعَلُونَ أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ مِّنَ الصَّوَاعِقِ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَاللَّهُ مُحِبُّ. Now imagine that heavy downpour where there is a lot of thunder. The darkness is there. Every time they are trying to protect themselves from the thunder. Putting their fingers in their ears. This is munafiq. Light is there. Light goes away. Sound comes out of fear, they want to dash, they want to run. But darkness encompasses them. They don't know where to run. They don't know which direction to go. This is the typical description of such a classic example. Ke eloko, they want to go, they don't know where to go. They get the instant of a split sort of second, split of a second direction, ke light out. Whether it is lightning or staupadanara, as in the first example, where they can only see their immediate bearings. The ipashtarvatari, immediate, that's extinguished. Then they don't know where to go. They have to run because of the fear, as it goes in the example here. Yeah? We're talking of an example. Okay, imagine a person who has to run from fear of life, right? Survive. But they can't see, they are in darkness. That is a typical example of
one. Next verse, okay, they are thrown lightweight or challenging. They are thrown lightweight or
challenging.
Next
verse. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْا فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ.
Here. I just ask what the light refers to. Is it the light of...
Sorry?
The light refers to here. Is it the light of guidance? Allah says, if they see it, a flashing moment of guidance.
Yes.
Allah
doesn't yes, it's a flash of guidance. Because munafiqeen know the truth. Right? Their exterior is based on something they know. They pretend to be either believers or good believers or good practicing Muslims based on what they know. So every time they hear verses of the Holy Quran, they hear guidance from the Holy Prophet, that is the flash of guidance they're getting. But they have somehow, because of the illness that lies in their heart, deep in their heart, they switch off. And to Allah, their example is like that somebody who is being given flashes of light. They walk a step, they die.
It's an example that needs a lot of pondering.
One question. A person who on the outside is a believer, appears to be a believer, on the inside he isn't. Does he believe he's a believer, or is he really on purpose trying to create Vishnu?
He's on purpose trying to create Vishnu.
But it's not like he himself thinks he's a believer.
Absolutely. Apparently, we tend to confuse the word munafiq with a hypocrite.
No, I think Sarkar's point is right. I think no human being, he has justified it himself somehow, to himself that what he's doing is right. Again, what is Shephela? The 11 in trouble. When he said to them, don't make mischief.
No.
They say, we are peacemakers. But Allah says, verily, they are mischief makers, but they don't perceive.
But if you look at verse 13, they say,
they do not perceive here means what?
أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لا يشعرون otherwise you see every person try and, let's try and understand this
because if a man knows obviously he has to know because he's got this facade he has to know this thing otherwise he can never be a convincing Muslim right
he has to know things about Islam he has to know the truth
otherwise
he has to for example know how to recite Quran how to read public so people look at him and say I'm a mean man right
Mane, what I think Safraz, the point he brought up was that look, a person who claims to be, let's look at our image in surroundings, yeah. I claim to be, for example, a good believer, right? I speak on pulpits, I stand up, I give lectures and I say music is hard. Right? Then I go and listen to music and one of you comes up and sees me listening to music. Right? Immediately, the response is Atta Munafiqji. Isn't that right? Isn't that the common understanding of Munafiq we have? Ya Munafiqji. Ek ba jo am bole chen, ek ba jo am kare chen. Right? But that is not the true meaning of Munafiq. Munafiq are those who have hatred towards the religion of Allah, the Prophet and his family, and are shrouding it with faith or belief. And they say, we believe. But dil ne andar lagone dushmani che. That category of people who do not practice what they preach are also mentioned in the Holy Quran, but not as munafiqin. Now they don't, they say, لِمَ تَقُلُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُ Surah Saf, second ayah. Why are you saying things that you are not practicing yourself? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ تَقُولُ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُ Allah sees that as something very grave and serious, that you say something that you do not practice. So, that is a certain category that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran.
I've
never come across any person in our community who believes and inside, you know, hates the
Adnars. Because if he is... The bulk of the people are not really got an agenda like they are convinced that they are okay. The whole world is...
I mean, you can imagine a Mossad guy pretending to be a Muslim so that he can try. But that's what we're talking about.
That's different.
Huh? What's so different?
No, but that's what we're talking about. That's
those are the ones who...
Nowadays, we would have, for example, enemies of Islam converting to Islam with that prejudice in mind, with that aim in mind.
Yeah, but they are not
people
converting to Islam as the enemies of Islam. No, they pretend to be.
But you are saying that these are not the pretending ones. They actually know a lot about the religion.
Of course. They pretend to convert to Islam. They know about Islam.
But
they say, okay, we are accepting Islam. At the end of the day, the bottom of their heart, they don't want to accept Islam. They, on the contrary, want to create Christian. But see, always, I don't am Christian. You see, for example, people who incited the Prophet had trouble with Ansar and Muhajirin, did he not? Right? The Muhajirin, you know, camped together, the Ansar camped together. After a war, when the booty was distributed, he had one or two people only inciting others. These are named people in history, people that history knows.
Jewish became Muslims. One of the very important expeditions was...
The Jews backed out.
They backed out. And there was a big problem. And I think the book. And the Prophet then kept Imam Ali al-Islam like our anchor. So when their plan was foiled like that, they started a vicious rumor that Ali ibn Abi Talib is out of favor with the Prophet. That Imam Ali went after the Prophet and said, I'm outside my body, they're only famous Ali Sahib.
Harun Musa.
Nalakani Chalche Kali to get you out of town because they have an agenda.
They refuse, three of them refuse to march with them. Those are dangerous.
But let's look at it. Okay, as far as the history of the Holy Prophet is concerned, we know that the Prophet is surrounded by Munafiqeen. Right? From the Muhajirin mainly, from the Ansar Mati Pochata, from Vadar to Muhajirin Mati. Right? Let's look at it now.
Yeah, I think they're very information.
Huh?
I mean, you know.
Let's look at the people who, in the name of Islam, want to distort Islam deliberately. That battle is not only hatred, is not only just hatred, it's not battle as in a war. It may mean so many things. It may mean, for example, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Awin, he declares himself a prophet, knowing very well what it is going to result in. Right? You think he was not a prophet? Number one.
That's right. Munafiq will be influential people, not ordinary laymen, because they influence like writers, people of the party.
Well, Munafiq.
It's intentional.
Munafiq
are
any other
word.
I mean, they are big
Munafiqs as well. So basically, there are not that many Munafiqs then. But you're saying that they're the most amount.
No, no, most amount nothing. Very, very rational.
We're talking about
I said verses have come so many currently we are most vulnerable to this. The most dangerous people are these people.
Right.
That is all.
But they're not that many.
Well, numbers. Numbers are.
From our everyday experience, we don't see that many of them.
Our experience is very limited.
That's the beauty of the
world. What about the people?
Our experience is very limited. Let's put the example of Allah. Wahhabis. Right? How did they start? And if you look at the political thing, why did they start? And what was the reason for their reception and all that? You find it there was
the Wahhabis have been living in world.
No, don't look at Wahhabis. You look at the founders of Wahhabis.
These guys wanted to carve a kingdom out of a desert.
Absolutely.
Islam was a good vehicle.
They used Islam as a tool. Just like those people were using it then. They wanted to use Islam to their benefit at the end of the day. They knew they couldn't win. Abu Huraira, Abu Sufyan could not win. When he gave up, he had planned, okay, I'm not in Jito, we'll wait, let's wait, let's bide our time. The Prophet died, he said, now the time has come. That's time. Like, these are people who were amongst the Muslims, probably as you say, influential people. I cannot call every Wahhabi as Munafiq. Because that ordinary Wahhabi may be more sincere than me. Right? And at the end of the day, it's the sincerity that may work to his advantage and my advantage. But his founders, Munafiqeen, position of leadership, position of, as you say, influence, those are the people that are my advantage.
What would you call the people in the ordinary people of the community who delight in causing problems?
Sorry?
The ordinary people in the community would delight in causing all the problems of
Prasad and all that. Chavi Kare, Hibat Kare.
Those are asking. Those are general people who have been like Ul Khasirun, like Ul Ashraf, you know, the Sharul Bariya. These are words. You see, to describe good people, so many different words have been used, like Muhsinin, Sabirin, Abrar, so on. Similarly, to describe sinful people, many words have been used. These are different.
You're
going to throw a chicken. Of course. Muttaqeen manati. That is a different thing. Mu'minin manati. Right? Muttaqeen daraja poncha asti, you have to have all those five or seven things. We don't have that. We at least qualify one rung or two rungs, inshallah. Can't put yourself so low. Take it.
That's a lot.
The parable has said about why death in the parable at length?
Lightning?
Like, why? What is soul? You're talking
beautiful, the way it goes on, it needs a little ponder.
What does it actually mean?
Metaphorical.
It's very metaphorical that someone
It's talking about periodic guidance, periodic darkness, light, dark,
and confusion,
flash of light,
and confusion,
and confusion,
confusion,
and an intention to actually get out of the confusion. So, indicating some degree of wanting to have some relief.
Like game of cat and mouse.
They're not confused. I mean, hypocrites, monastics are not confused. They know exactly what they want to do.
No, but that's
so
their perception.
Maybe they experience remorse.
The confusion is in the reality, in the real world, as far as Allah is concerned. To him, they are like that. To them, they may be successful in their mission.
What about the lightning that comes periodically? Is that like a bit of remorse?
That's what I believe. My understanding is the lightning that comes periodically to them is that guidance that they listen to sitting with Muslims. When they listen to Muslims, they see how Muslims did, right? That evidence, the hujjat that we talk about, is already on them. But they, within themselves, have switched off. They don't want to react to that. They have a planned agenda. They want to establish something else, something beyond that. And therefore, what they do is, they have that periodic lightning. But see, what they do is they have their agenda, they follow it, and to Allah, that like, they're like that people who are, those people who are just sort of, you know, wandering about. Kai nikashi. Right? It's like a person in darkness, arm right, turn right, turn left, go forward, go backward.
One verse number 20
is there,
he needs to be
the light snatches away the light. It's a very brilliant sort of bit of truth.
So what you think?
As often as it clashes on them, they walk in it.
Much of it.
But when it becomes dark to them, they stand still. At length, even I mean, what is this light? Even Tabar says what talked about it?
Tabar says a lot. Tabar is not much. The lightning that you're talking about, yeah?
People listen. You said that they listen to the truth.
No, there's a point. The lightning is given to him and taken away.
You should not say he has a point. Last week he was not there.
No, listen. No, this point. This one. the lightning.
Last week we discussed it, didn't we?
No, but the light. No, there's two different things here. The lightning, Allah gives and takes away. Nothing to. But that fire, he's actually trying to light himself.
Yeah, he's trying to light. Yeah.
So
Allah sent away.
Yeah, but if he's trying to, surely he's doing something good, ne?
The light represents the guidance. So he's trying to get light. He's
trying to get his version of it.
No purpose.
Guidance.
He's trying to find a path that is his way.
That's right. To his liking.
Right? Last time we discussed this. Let's get a bit philosophical now. We discussed this concept of action from Allah, action from human being. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, and He says in many times, that it is He who has done this. Right? يَهْدِ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ So He guides who He wishes. And He, would you translate it as He misguides?
Confuses.
So, but does that mean He does that to us?
He does it in a negative way. He does it by taking away the guidance.
He lets us be on our own.
He withdraws
so
his guidance.
He withholds his guidance.
Yeah.
He withholds his guidance.
The second level.
Withholding of his guidance is the same as confusion.
Is that what we're saying?
That's what I said last time. We explained this last time very thoroughly. This is how it works. He wants, mind you, misguidance is absence of guidance. There is no tangible misguidance as such.
No, but there's also an incorrect value. They are
not.
Ulaika haqqat alayhim. If Allah wants,
but there's an active voice here,
guidance to you, then you can tone down the effect of your confusion and bring you back to the straight path.
When he says the wrath is wrath will descend on the whole society, huh? It's like written, that wrath is written within the social laws. When society deviates, the law automatically falls, superpower will fall. That's written within the laws, within the social laws.
Social laws, or define social laws, what do you mean by social laws?
Yeah, the interaction of human beings. If you live together, you sit, the fabric of stuff is with so the rest of the law is written into the social law. So I'm saying it's a similar thing.
So has Allah sent Rob or the
fact
process?
Because
the fact that they have this disease automatically is within that disease will increase.
Alright, let's get one or two things straight. One or two principles. You're right. Right? What you're defining is the end thing, end conclusion. Okay, effectively it is Allah who is doing it. Baha. And this is where you've got to understand the actions, as far as actions are concerned. And by actions I mean the actions that we do. Are they from Allah? Or are they for me? Or are we partners in doing every action? وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. This is a verse in the Holy Quran. And you did not throw when you threw, but Allah threw. Right? So did Allah throw, or did He throw? When Prophet Ibrahim was asked about his Lord, he says, يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ وَإِذَا مَرَضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. Right? He feeds me, and He gives me drinks. And when I get sick, He cures me. So, is Allah feeding him? Is Allah making him drink? Or quenching his thirst in the world? Is Allah curing him?
Yes, by giving him water, by giving him sustenance, by giving him land.
Ahsan. By providing food, by giving him water, by making treatment available in terms of herbs or medicines or whatever it is, right? In actual fact, for every action that Allah is doing, He has created an intermediary. For every action. Right? For every action, Allah has created. If Allah wanted you to quench your thirst without you drinking water, could He have not done it? He could have done it. He could have done it in such a way that you simply think you want to quench your thirst and you would quench your thirst. But no. Allah has decided to create a certain system in which He has created water as an intermediary to quenching your thirst. Now, you get the water and quench your thirst. But who has created water in the first place? Who has created that ability in water to quench your thirst? So, that is where the role of Allah comes in everything, in every action. When we say everything He has done, not that physically He is doing it the way we imagine we are doing it. Can't happen. On the contrary, if you understand, try and understand this, that there is a relationship, and this relationship is not in pro rata or percentage, how much percentage Allah plays a role in that action and how much percentage I play in that action. No. Again, it's nothing like that. It's just that there is Allah creating so many different factors in your one action. Let's say you want to quench your thirst, you're thirsty, right? You have to stand up, get a glass, open the tap nowadays, or go to a well in those days. Get water and drink it. You have to do so many things before you get to quenching your thirst. So Allah has created that ability in you to be able to fulfill all those conditions. It is not just as easy, I want to drink water, I'm thirsty, pani. It doesn't happen that way. So, all in order. Now you have the ability to stand up, go search for water yourself. Whether it is the physical strength required to find water, the monetary aid you need to pay for your water bills if water is coming home, whatever it is. Everything. You do it yourself. Then you drink water and you say, Alhamdulillah, for He has given you not only water, but He has given you the strength to look for water, the physical strength necessary to rise and bring water, to be able to raise water to your mouth, and above all, to be able to drink water, for there are people who cannot even pass water down the throat. And when it comes to one action, there are so many conditions, so many prerequisites of fulfilling that action, where I am not in control. So many things I am not in control. The example we saw, okay, we want to light a fire outside. We light a fire, are we in control of the wind? The way the wind blows, the strength of the wind, we are not in control. The wind comes. Cigarette burns, I can't light a cigarette outside. How weak the will of a man is. And yet, the man assumes he is doing everything. You study the concept of Mu'tazilites, Ash'ari, right? This is what we were discussing last time. The Mu'tazilites are those who say everything a human being does, because it tallies with the concept of justice of God. If Allah is going to punish you for your bad deeds and reward you for good deeds, then justice stipulates that you should be in control of doing what you want to do. Tafwil, 100%. Right? Asha'ira say no. Al-khayru min Allah wa sharru min Allah. Everything is from Allah. Because the Quran very clearly says that it is Allah who is doing everything. So, the Asha'ira is a very simple answer to that. The Asha'ira cannot be possible because it conflicts with the concept of reward and punishment. Right? If Allah is doing everything, then the simple answer to Abu Hanifa that Bahlul gave, very valid answer. Right? But when it comes to Mu'tazilites, who say that no, the concept of justice of Allah says that every human being should be free to do what you want. Fine, you are free to do what you want, but within the limited constraints and restraints that you have. And those are by Allah. And so you feel that you are with that choice that you have. Right? Sharing. If we talk in terms of percentage, that we cannot, because there is no percentage. We cannot say 50% Allah, 50% Rucho. There is no percentage. But if you were to ever imagine that there is a percentage, you would probably be 10 or 15% responsible with the choice you want to do it, for doing the action. Otherwise, the rest would fall in the system in which Allah has created. However, now it makes sense, okay, when Allah says, okay, He has led you astray, not physically by switching off or by denying. It is just that He has not, those conditions, those circumstances surrounding you are not conducive to you getting that. That system in which He has created. Sathe ye yaad rahe ki whatever is positive is tangible and is granted by Allah. Whatever is negative is just absence of positive and hence cannot be granted. It is just the positive being withheld, ordinary.
That is the basis of the Ash'ari argument, yes. The Ash'ari is a powerhouse. The argument is there, they are historical. They must have known that argument. Was it of hell and heaven?
Where they survived 200 years before they were snuffed out.
But why? What is the argument against those who say it? Ke jannat al jahannam.
Barabachi, but what they were saying was you see, it is this very set of conditions. Because Allah ultimately controls them. In effect, He controls their actions. That was their argument. Because, Imam al-Islam al-Shaykh, the 7th Imam al-Islam al-Shaykh, he said that the man says, zina karu wa. Hadith says, it's a little bit close to the bone, but that's how you read some of the hadiths as well. But he can get the man says, zina karu. He chat to kaila say, zina karu. But unless there is a set of circumstances where such a woman is available, and the means are available, toji zina karu. So it will remain a thought dead in his head, which does not come with it any sin, right?
again, this is the Ashaira argument that is quite powerful in its own way. Okay? Because Allah controls a set of circumstances, in effect, it controls your action.
But the choice.
But you see,
the end choice remains yours.
Yes.
Thank you. That's the lynching factor.
The end choice still remains yours. Like, I'm going to show you how to get a percentage. I'm going to say that I'm going to get a
Absolutely. So you want to do it, but you can't do it. Right. This system in which Allah has created, the system in which there are such rules, right? This thing happens, this thing will definitely happen. We said last time, you said it is physical laws, right? Physical laws were designed by Allah, obviously, right? When something happens, then invariably and inevitably the effect will take place. So the cause takes place, but invariably and inevitably the effect will take place, right? That system is where Allah has created that system, and Allah says, لَمْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ. You will not find a change in that particular system. If you remember last time we were discussing about fire, you find light a fire, fire will burn. Fire is designed to burn. Fire has been created by Allah to burn. Until and unless He intervenes and says, Ya Naru, Kuni Bartam wa Salam. Now He has interfered, or rather intervened, in a direct specific case. Said, Omar Ibrahim, don't worry, because he has the power. That power nobody denies. Right?
Then you know, with Shahidi, Al-Khidi was saying, even in that power, same question came up, okay, miracles, but does he suspend physical laws? And Al-Khidi was saying, you know, even there's an agent, yeah, there's an agent which we don't comprehend yet.
What agent?
He uses a set of rules which are already in place.
Ah, this is the next part that I'm coming.
He set of rules which whose nature and reality we don't quite understand yet.
The next part that we are coming to is the ijaz, the discussion on miracles. Because if you look at four or five verses down in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتِ بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ فَأْتِ بِسُورَةٍ. Right? That is the miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran. Now, before we go into the miraculous aspect of the Holy Quran, how the Quran can be proved as a miracle, it is important to study the miracle as a concept. What was a miracle? What is a miracle? Right? And what is the difference? Adi Abre, for example, Pakistan Majoy, India Majoy, Alam Madi Asubidish, for example, right? The Goro Je Tashvi Nigar Kutuzul Janano Roto, right? Or something like that. People would shout, Mojizo, Mojizo, Mojizo. Right? Is that a Mojizo?
Condensation.
But, so it's important that we understand, yeah, what is Mojizo, what is called in Arabic as Karama.
Right. I mean, the question was very interesting. In the manner we have in Kidal, we can, you know, talk into a little box here and here in the other side of the world. If I displayed it,
so
if I displayed it mobile phone, the old days, I would be a module, okay? Today, today the recharge knows what to do. So similarly, Asif bin Barkej, Laiwatullah, the throne, he must have used a conduit, a knowledge source which, if you knew how to do it, would be as sort of simple as
like
a
Star Trek or beam me up.
Yes. Yeah, so
one day something will happen.
The question is, Allah
very
is
very practically
using,
you can think.
Allah is using a set of laws already in place, but activating them in a way which we don't know
how to do. Tabatabai, what he does is he goes through the concepts of how Musa al-Islam and Isa al-Islam is a Mu'jizada. And in light of those miracles, we understand what Allah wants us to understand. What are miracles? Right? To understand that is very interesting. Next week we'll start on that.